Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. And good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. Good afternoon.
Welcome. Good afternoon, yes. Welcome to Friday.
And what another beautiful day it is.
Another beautiful day. And here is the assignment from yesterday. Half our life is spent trying to find something to do with a time we have rushed through life trying to save. This can remind us that millions long for eternity who can't figure out what to do with themselves on a rainy afternoon. Once we realize there's nowhere to get to but here, and nothing to do but to be, rushing about for the sake of maintaining ego's busyness has far less appeal. Noticing that hurrying to get through never produces the satisfaction we're led to believe will be ours inspires us to learn to move, to learn to move at the speed of life and to practice appreciating each moment. Today, each time you find yourself rushing to save time, stop, take a long, deep breath, notice where you are, and say, thank you. Record and listen.
So practical, right. Isn't it?
It is very practical. Yeah. All right, let's see what our first caller has to say. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Hey,
from
Beth.
Denver. How are you?
Wonderful. I project that you are too.
You know, it really is feeling that way with all the great assignments that we've had.
So what did you say about this one?
Yeah. So what I so loved about this one is the practice that I've been doing with non-urgency of moving at the speed of life. And what I found yesterday and the day before was that life actually was moving pretty quickly. However, I wasn't.
Interesting, isn't it? Yes, that there's a certain rhythm, and there is that the pace at which it's moving, there's some drag in our response because we're listening to a voice that perhaps it's preventing us from actually even being present to the rhythm.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the voices come up and say, oh, there's so much to do, and that you're not going to get it all done, or you're not, you know, you got to get this first, and then, you know, and it's just this place of, well, I'm just going to do the next thing that drops in. And yes, there are a lot of things that are on the schedule or in the itinerary, but getting stressed out and going to urgency is not helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, getting stressed out and going to urgency is not helpful. And it's not helpful in that very specific way that you're talking about, right? Because if life is moving really quickly and conditioning is in there trying to plan its response to the quickness of life, then it's already behind. And therefore, it has to move towards urgency to catch up.
Yeah. And what I just saw when you were reflecting that and saying that was the conversation takes time and therefore takes away from the ability to respond to life and to just go with it.
Yes. Oh, yes, let me underline that. The conversation takes time, and I will add energy, and therefore takes away from our ability to respond and be with life. Yes, we have to get to reactive because there's not enough energy and not enough time if our attention is on a conversation.
Yeah, that is totally what my experience is now. And I, what I'm seeing so clearly, because I have this content about moving, is that previously when I did this, I would get stuck in a conversation about what am I going to throw away? What am I going to keep? You know, how do I pack that? How am I going to take care of this, you know, this part of it? How am I going to, and it was always the discussion about how is it going to be done? And now I'm finding it's just, oh, I like that. Let's do that. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so freeing, and it's so, gosh, what's another word for it? Freeing. And I can get so much more, so much more stuff gets accomplished, and not necessarily done, but accomplished without this, like, just complete morass of whirlwinds of trying to decide things. So.
Yes. So if I'm tracking you right, that the experience is that when I'm in the conversation, I'm not here. The conversation is about how things should be done instead of just doing them. And then when we're not leaving life to talk about what's arising in life and we're just here, then what arises is what's next to do, and there's just simply the doing of it without having to figure it out. It's another version of noodling, right?
Yes, spot on.
And that, that sense of accomplishment is because we're not in a process that is wasting time and energy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because even if the list, quote unquote, that list, that mythical list isn't done, there is a profound sense of accomplishment with whatever does get accomplished.
Yes. Yes. A profound sense of accomplishment from what does get done. Because I project something dropped in when you said that, which is, it's not, you know, the conditioned orientation is getting things off the list is what gives you a sense of accomplishment. And I project what you're experiencing as wholehearted participation in whatever is arising in life is what gives us a sense of accomplishment. So it's unconditional on what gets done.
That is exactly it. Yes. Thank you.
Wow.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes, and we need those experiences over and over again, not to fall for the bamboozle, right? Not to fall for, let me listen to a conversation about how to get things done. No, just let me be present and be present to what's arising and give it all of my attention and energy, and that's what gives me that experience of wholeness and a sense of accomplishment that's based on participation.
Yes, exactly. And whatever gets done or accomplished is exactly perfect.
Exactly. Yes, it exactly is. Perfect. Because we're not in a conversation of there's something wrong with it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. 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 So I was very excited. I was very energized by this one and the one from the previous day, which I don't remember, but it was profound, too.
Yes,
they just both
sort of living
well.
In the context of there's nothing wrong, right? That
yeah.
It's all fun and it's all exciting, it's all energizing. Really, yep. The content is irrelevant.
Yeah, it is, and yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you both. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Beth.
Yeah, thank you, Beth. And Ashwini, I was looking at that. Well, actually, just really loving that distinction between a sense of accomplishment and getting things done, and in conditioned mind, that conditioned mind has no way to prioritize anything. So it prioritizes having the attention, and then doesn't care about content, and so it has to be dedicated to getting things done, but has no sense of accomplishment, which seems really critical.
Aha! So if I'm tracking you, Chris, since attention, grabbing the attention is the priority,
yeah,
it's not really how to do something is gets the attention more than actually doing it. So accomplishment actually has no part in the whole bamboozle. You don't actually
exactly.
get things. You just talk about it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So, and then by definition, you're out of sync with the speed of life, as you were mentioning. That conditioning can only comment on what just happened. And so if we're in that conversation about something that just happened, then, we're out of sync with the speed of life. So.
Yeah, so I guess bottom line, get out of the conversation.
Indeed.
Always.
Always, yeah. Okay, let's see. Check in with our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hey. No, it's so fun to get on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, great. So I was looking at something that I've heard others have this experience, and I've had it too, and it's such a classic ego move that I'm glad I've had it too, because, you know, I'd hate to be left out of, you know, any bamboozle egos trying to pull and seeing through it. But and it relates to this reading, and so it was that, you know how you'll be having your life, and then just like you and Chris were just talking about, ego will be commenting on what just happened. So the specific is a couple of years ago, I was working in the garden, and I was thinking about what my life is going to be next when I'm not at the monastery anymore, you know, or when I'm not doing this anymore. And it was saying, well, I want to be sure and have a patch of ground where I can garden, because I really do like gardening. And then I want to make sure I have plenty of time for meditation, and I want to be sure that I can offer practice, and you know, and then let's be sure that we have, you know, and it was like, and it just hit me. Oh, and eating good food, you know, and cooking and eating healthy. That was, you know, and it was really sure we wanted to have that in our life. And it was like, wait a minute. You just described the exact life I currently have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just getting that, I mean, it literally made me laugh out loud to see that. And how much of my life has been spent on getting through this to what's really going to make, you know, so it's that same kind of urgency. We can be urgent. I noticed this sitting today and also driving around a lot yesterday. We can be urgent, like just getting from to the next exit or getting to the next meeting or getting to the next phase of life. You know, it's like the urgency can be small or, you know, extended. And it's just so fun. I mean, literally fun, and makes me laugh to be able to see through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's such an important point that you are making on a process level, right, in the way you're pointing out how conditioned mind works. So here you are in the garden, having the experience, having the life, living the life that you always wanted, and it's talking to you about having that life elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And to catch on that the process of that is to take you away from the moment and having and receiving what you already have to receive. Yeah. Right? It's that place of desire is only created when there's dissatisfaction with what is here. And when we're here, we're not dissatisfied. So the process of conditioning has to take you away from here in order to get to a place of dissatisfaction.
Exactly. That's it. And, you know, and then it can, I just saw as you were saying that, another bamboozle that it's sort of the booster to that one, is that if it can compare two, like, if it can compare two different things, not, so for example, it can hardly ever get me of, like, I want to get through this meal for the next meal, or I want to get through this breath so that I can get to the next breath. You know, it's things that are the same, it doesn't get much traction.
Uh-huh.
It has to be different. So I got to get through this meal so that I can get to the next activity or the next errand or what, you know. I was noticing that when I was sitting this morning that I have no, it could not ever pull me into that of oh, this breath isn't good enough. I got to get to the next one, you know, because this is just the same thing. But when it can introduce something that's slightly different, then it helps the bamboozle to get a little traction. Oh, yeah, breathing isn't as good as whatever, you know.
So if I can connect all the dots, the attempt to get the attention distracted from the here now is accomplished by comparison with something that is distinct enough from here now that it's compelling, as opposed to I have to get from this weed to the next weed. But the point is that it's getting us out of this moment, a complete wholehearted presence to this moment. And it's the same thing with the next exit, right? So if we are, our attention is on whatever is next, we're not in the now. And that's that beautiful Zen saying that nothing happens next. It's all in the now.
That is so true. And I think one of the ways that it, you know, the reasons that that experience in the garden was so funny and it overplayed its hand was that it was actually describing what was actually there, you know?
Yes.
And so, so it was visible.
Yes, it's visible. And I project, right, Rebecca, if you weren't playing close enough attention, you would not have caught the fact that it was describing your life and moving you to a place of longing for a life that you're having. Because if we're not here, and this is really an interesting place, because if we're not here for our life, however wonderful it is, we haven't received it, and therefore we can fall prey to conditioning, painting a picture of what it is we want. Because we don't have, we're not here for what we do have.
Yeah.
And so it's believable.
Yeah. And one last point to punctuate that is that's where being clear on what you want is so helpful. And, you know, because it's the short recitation. If ending suffering is more important than anything, because that gives us a touchstone, you know, like, okay, I can go back to this because in everything in life, whether I buy that new couch, whether I get this, you know, whatever, if I get a pet or, you know, anything can sort of be seen through if ending suffering is more important than anything. You know, and so ego can't pull us away so much in the content if we have that touchstone to go back to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I would say it's not even what we want, right, because that's a dangerous way of phrasing it. It's we're very, very clear what our intention is. And what you're pointing out is a context for our existence. This is what I do. Mine is a practice of waking up. Right? And so it's very unambiguously stated. And so any piece of content can be held up against that and let go of because your intention is to wake up, to end suffering.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Because and I felt that was a little off as I was even saying those examples because it isn't ever the content. The touchstone is the process. The touchstone of what's my life about in a sense or you know, however we want to say it. And through when we're clear on that, then all of those other processes that ego introduces can have a better chance of having the light shown on them.
Exactly. The story is not believable. So I want to meditate a lot. I want to eat good food. I want to what you really want is a monastic life. Mm-hmm. It's never framed as I want to wake up and end suffering, and that you are actually doing that.
Very good, very fun quote. So thank you.
It's a very fun quote. Thank you, Deep Gashwin.
Yes,
nice hearing from Rebecca.
Thank you. And bye to you, Chris, too.
Thanks, Rebecca. Take care.
which, Winnie, that seems really powerful, that in longing for the life that we are looking for, that we're ignoring the one that we have.
Yes, and in both directions, right, that we ignore the one we have, and it actually might be everything that we want, because we're not here to receive it. We could be taken off in that story of not having it.
Yeah, exactly.
Real double whammy.
And then with the looking at, it can be a really humbling experience to look at everything I do during the course of the day in the light of what Rebecca was mentioning about, what is more important to me than ending suffering, and to just, as I'm going through the day, beginning to point out or to be aware of, well, okay, I see that. It's like,
Yeah, it's in spiritual practice, it's often called unifying desire, right? That everything, I want this, I want this, I want this, basically distracts the energy or splits the energy into all of these desires. But when we are clear that the one thing that we are intending more than anything else is waking up, then it gives us a mechanism by which we don't need to fulfill those split, we don't have to fulfill the energy going through all of these different places, and we're clear that we can bring all that energy in the pursuit of what our life is about.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. All right, let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Puget Sound in Washington.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. I was on this one, I was thinking about how often I'll find myself rushing to save time, certainly, but rushing so that I can hurry up and relax.
And so, especially yes, when it's, I hurry up and relax. Get all this stuff done so I could put my feet up.
Right, and often it happens like when I'm getting ready for bed, like hurry up so I can get into bed and relax and go to sleep. And the thing is the hurrying is the opposite process of what it is of relaxing. And so what I have instead is a bunch of hurry and no relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so often the case, right? It's what you do is what you get. So if you're hurrying, that's
exactly
what you have. And it's interesting. I think it's related to the assignment for today, right? That while we're doing something, we can still relax. There's that it's a bamboozle that we have to hurry to do something before we can relax. Well, you could relax and do it all.
Right. And I've found myself asking myself sometimes as I'm hurrying, why don't I just relax along into this?
Yes.
And conditioning does not, no, that does not compute.
Well, that's the only reason you can't, right? Because we're buying that story that relaxation comes after getting all of this done, and there are two distinct processes.
Yeah.
Whereas your awareness is saying, well, you could do this in a very relaxed way, and you could have relaxation all through.
Right. So that's my good practice. Whenever I catch myself hurrying, say, why don't we relax into this moment?
And it is relaxing, right? Because it's what we were talking about with Beth. When we let go of the conversation and we're here, we are in life space. So there isn't that feeling of being stressed or pushed or all of those experience urgent that we have when we're listening to the conversation.
Yes, and
we
I
just
see
let
how
go of the conversation. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying I can see how you're saying how it fits into today's, because if you are in that, you know, you are doing that as if you have nothing else in the universe to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. There's nothing left over. Everything is contained in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
There is no next to get to. right? We have that. It's not just an esoteric metaphysical expression. It's an actual experience.
Right, right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. What fun.
Thanks, Jennifer. Sweeney, I was dropping in was the expression, the eternal now.
Yeah. Such an oxymoron unless you have it as an experience.
That's right. Right. And once you have it as an experience, it's easy to put those two together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We go to what it's pointing at rather than trying to figure it out, which is such a metaphor for everything in Zen, I project, because one takes us to conditioned mind, and the other we have a direct experience of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we can squeeze in one more, Ashwini.
Fabulous.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura. Aloha.
Hi. Thank you so much for being there all week, both of you. I just lost what I was going to say here. But it has to do with this belief that I recently uncovered, this karmic belief that is do or die, which came up and was just like really so extreme and so intense that I was able to see the absurdity of it. And now, so I've been away, and then when I got back, of course, there was a whole bunch of stuff piled up that conditioning told me it was very urgent to get me to do. And so I was really deliberately moving more slowly to and methodically to, you know, move through the stuff that that was calling my attention. And what I noticed so clearly was, even though physically I was moving more slowly, the conversation in the head was really ramping up and exhausting me.
So if I might reflect what you're saying, so there's the do or die. It's so extreme that it caught your attention, right? Because that's absurd. It's not like you have to die if you didn't get all this done, right? And so there's the intention to move physically more slowly, and in moving slowly, I project there's an expanded awareness of how fast the conversation is going, and if the attention is on that conversation, it actually depletes the energy. So it's not related to how slow you're moving physically. It's observing the extent to which the energy gets sucked out if we are in the conversation about urgency. You don't even actually have to physically move rapidly in order for that process to happen. It's not, I think it's not the mechanics that makes the difference. It's the attention on the conversation. That's what depletes the energy.
Oh, you have described that absolutely correctly. Yes, that was my experience.
Yes, and it's so good to know that, right? Because I project, and some of that belief is it's the moving fast that consumes the energy. But what you just proved to yourself is, even if you're moving slowly, what consumes the energy is the rapidity of the conversation in the head. That's what we need to slow down or ignore completely if we can, right?
Yes, exactly. Focus on the task at hand, for example, and what is, well, it always helps for me to come back to the breath, of course. And then when I am actually present doing whatever it is that, you know, I'm accomplishing, there is no space, there is no room to listen to the conversation.
Yes. All of the attention is on the task at hand. It's here. And so there's no room left over, no energy leak, right, to that conditioned process.
because that's what it is. Yes, it's a leak.
It's a leak. Yes, it's a leak of energy to maintain maintain that conversation, and therefore it's not available. It was coming up for me when we were talking to Beth, right? It's almost as if life has X, in order to do task X, it takes life energy X. But if we have Y amount of energy on life, I mean on the conversation, then all of X is not available to life. No wonder what we feel tired.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura. And one other thing that dropped in when you were saying do or die, it is so ego's motto, right? Because if ego isn't convincing us to do and we could just be, it dies. It ceases to exist.
Yes. And earlier what occurred to me was, because I thought do or die, that's part of something. And like it's part of some old saying. And the other part of the saying is, ours is not to question why. Ours is but to do or die. And I have no idea.
Yeah, into the valley of death, road to 600. Yes. It's the charge of the light brigade, right?
Oh, is it? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I just dropped in when you said that. Because that's it. We don't question why. We just have to do or die. And the whole... our whole practice is to say, who says? Is that so? Let's slow this down and really examine what's going on here.
Yes, because ego, of course, does not want us to question anything, but just to go with the program.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. And so you slow it down, no wonder it's screaming. Because if you slow it down enough and you start to be here and all of that energy is in the moment, then it ceases to exist. It ceases to do.
Yes. Wow, thanks so much.
Thank you, Laura. Deep gusho. Take care.
Thanks, Laura. That's great, Ashwini. So ours is not to do or die. Ours is to live and be.
Yes.
Shall we go with that?
Yeah. Not next, just now. Nothing happens next.
All right, so this is the assignment that's not happening next. our assignment for today is the sun, with all those planets revolving around it and dependent upon it, can still ripen a bunch of grapes as if it had nothing else in the universe to do.
Mm. So pertaining to what we've been talking about.
Yeah. What a notion. It's not as if the sun needs to take some time off and go dark to have the time and space to ripen a bunch of grapes. This points us to an expanded awareness that can contain and attend to everything. We don't need to stop and put our feet up to relax. We don't need to have nothing to do to approach what we're doing as if we have nothing else in the universe to do. When we're fully here, we can be fully present to whatever we're doing, aware as if we have nothing else to do. Today, using the sun as your role model, give yourself 3 moments of being fully present with expanded awareness, as if you had nothing else in the universe to do. Record and listen. Relaxing.
Very relaxing. Very relaxing. And we'll get an assignment on Saturday and Sunday, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
Yeah, that's exactly so. Perfect. All right, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Take care and go happy.